Our next guest is a former NFL player drafted by his hometown team, the Dallas Cowboys, went on to play with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Buffalo Bills, and became the first openly bisexual player in the National Football League. He has since retired. He's working as an activist these days and is the author of a terrific new memoir entitled The Yards Between Us, a memoir of life, love, and football. We're happy to be joined once again on the program by R.K. Russell. Hey, R.K., thank you so much for being with us again.
Hey, thank you for having me.
I was checking back. It was last fall when we talked to you, and the book was in progress, in the works. How does it feel to finally have it out there in the world?
Oh, my gosh. It's been a journey. Definitely, you know, I've done a lot of growing through it. I've definitely become a better person, but now I just feel so proud to have it out and to have accomplished it. I feel hopeful that, you know, that it is helping people and inspiring people in at least a fraction of the way that it has done that for me. And I'm super proud of it.
Well, you should be. It's such a powerful book. I had a chance to read the whole thing last night, and it was terrific. And, well, your story is such an interesting and I think inspiring one. And it starts early that you had to deal with loss from a very young age with the death of your dad.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, just talking about those very human moments are something that can connect multiple people. You know, whether you identify as a bisexual person, an LGBTQ plus person, whether you're a person of color or a black man, we all experience grief. We all experience loss. And that was kind of where my experience began, and it's where I wanted to start. Because at the end of the day, we can all seem so different, but we can all go through so many similar things. And I think that's important to also create the empathy between human beings.
She seems like such a remarkable woman. How lucky were you to have your mom in your life at that time?
Oh my gosh, so lucky to have her then, to have her now. My mom's my best friend. We talk every day to this day for at least an hour on the phone. And, you know, there are people who get to just experience people and to get to be loved unconditionally. And I'm so fortunate to be one of those people that have had that so early on and continue to have that. I want to help people find that in their own life if they don't have it already. And I want to be that for people. You know, my mother taught me a lot about what it just means to be a good person, and how I can reciprocate that to the other people who meet me and experience me through this journey.
How important was your athletic ability, not only in giving you confidence, but helping you stand up to bullying, to racism, a number of the things that you dealt with as a young man, well, all the way up through the Jesuit school that you went to? Did that ability you had enable you to deal with that at a different level?
I definitely think it was a part of it. I mean, you know, just being an athlete at that point and now was so ingrained in who I am. You know, there are things that athletics and that sport and football taught me, huge character values, just about being accountable, about integrity, about hard work, dedication, respecting someone else. So I think it's a huge part of who I am. It's a huge part of who I was at that moment. Definitely affected me in positive ways and allowed me to handle and navigate things. But talent in sport can also kind of be a double-edged sword, especially for our youth. You know, I was also put in positions where I didn't say things that I wanted to say because of sport or because of the fear of losing sport or alienating myself from it in some ways. So in times it empowered me, in times I let it, or merely my idea of it, my value of it over who I am or over whether it be social issues or just anything, I let that kind of also mute me at times. And dim me at times. So you know, it's a bit of a double-edged sword. I think that's what I still focus on now today with sport. Yes, I want to bring all the positives that it has to everyone, especially to the communities I feel need it the most, which are, you know, communities of color, which are the LGBTQ plus community, but also understand that it comes with a negative side that we all need to be aware of, that we all need to be actively working against, whether it be the whether it be toxic levels of masculinity, whether it be misogyny, whatever it is. That we're all facing, regardless of our identity, we're all facing in sport. So just to be conscious of both sides of it.
We're talking with R.K. Russell. A new book is called The Yards Between Us, a memoir of life, love, and football. And certainly one of the most important people in the story, in your story, is your wonderful friendship with Joe Gilliam. Can you talk about what bonded you two and how important he was in your life.
Yeah. I mean, he, once again, I just met a phenomenal human being. I think Merce first and foremost, like, outside of being and also a black man, outside of being someone who at that time was religious, would describe themselves as a religious person, a football player on the biggest level and in one of the biggest conferences in college football, and to be best friends with me and to be loving and accepting of me, for him to be the first person I came out to, and just his response of brotherhood and camaraderie was huge. It was huge for me, but it also showed me a glimpse of what life could be like, of the capacity of people, regardless of their religion or background or how they grew up or the sport that they play, their capacity to love another human being, to respect another human being, and to accept another human being was monumental in my journey.
Well, and getting to know him through your eyes and your story was great, and that made it even harder to read about his loss at such a young age.
Yeah, definitely. Once again, just a tragic thing, but something that I think a lot more people face than we're privy to, than we talk about. And it put a lot of things in perspective for me, honestly, you know, just to understand the fragility of life and the unexpectedness and how I really can't take any second for granted, hiding the secret or a part of myself or in living in anything that feels less than a full human experience. And you know, for me, it took a bit of a trauma. It took a bit of a journey, and I don't want that to be the case for other people. I don't want anyone to have to lose someone or go through something very traumatic to decide to love themselves better or to discover themselves or to be proud of themselves. So I hope that this book, you know, people can go through that journey with me and can see my story. That way that it doesn't have to take so much for them.
How did watching the movie Brokeback Mountain open your eyes and maybe help you change your perspective a little bit?
It's so funny because that's like the part of the book where I even say in the book, like, felt very, in a sense, cringy to me because it just seems like a very like stereotypical moment in a movie. But when the media and the representation, especially at that time, is so limited, there's only so much to pick from. Mm. I think was the first moment that I kind of realized the physical attraction, or at least the reaction that a same gender person can have on me, or that same gender, same sex relationships could have on me. And it kind of opened my eyes. It didn't really solidify anything for me. It just created more questions. Being a bisexual person, I also feel like there's an added layer, one of like erasure of the bi community, but also just an added part of your journey where you go from straight to automatically being thrust into thinking you're gay, or to people perceiving you as gay, to kind of not have any middle ground. So it, if anything, created more questions for me in my identity, and it took extra learning and experiences and self-reflection to understand that I, about my bisexuality, that I am bisexual and have always been.
You wrote so eloquently in the book about the struggles you had leading up to telling your mom.
Yeah. I mean, my mother, like I talk about, just the closest person to me, an amazing person, but also someone that has sacrificed so much for me to get to where I am now, to get to where I even was then. So I didn't want her, first and foremost, to feel like she had in any way done less than that she could have in any way been a better mother, because she couldn't have been. You know, anything that would be deemed as something would be from out society, it would be from outside of our family, not actually how her and I interacted, not actually how she mothered me. You know, and then there was a question of sport, because my mom also understood how much I had sacrificed for sport and the implications that coming out would have. The first words she said to me as I came out were, "What about football?" And it was something that at that time, you know, hurt me a bit, but it was also so true. It was such a reflection of the question I had posed to myself all these years, and the reason I hadn't come out for all these years, and a reflection of how society at that time saw people, LGBTQ plus people in sport. And it was that I wanted to change. You know, my mother, she changed it herself. We were able to talk, and she was able to understand that those two things weren't at odds. And that's the hope for the growth that I want for other people as well, to not see these two things as opposing things, but to see them living in harmony. Because they do, you know, whether we know it or not, there are LGBTQ plus athletes at the professional level now amongst us in male and female sports. And there will continue to be. And that is just how the world is. We want to make spaces feel more inclusive and warm to those athletes.
You told us when we talked last fall, progress is not linear, and we're seeing that every day right now when the LGBTQ plus community is under attack in some circles. It's important to remember that it doesn't all happen at once. Progress doesn't come in a day, but that makes keeping up that fight even more important.
Exactly. It doesn't happen in a day, but it also doesn't happen if we don't keep pressing forward, if we don't keep making the change, if we don't call these organizations and businesses and companies to be accountable, if we don't hold them accountable. It is not linear, but the constant pursuit of it should be consistent, and it should be viable. We should be able to see it, and I believe we are. I think every year, especially I'll talk in terms of male sports in the NFL, I see different efforts being made. I see more progress being made. To encourage professional athletes to come out is something that I feel like is not my main focus and shouldn't really be the main focus of male sports. I think it's about the culture starting at a very young age and cultivating a place that can be safe for LGBTQ plus youth. I think that way you will have more LGBTQ plus people staying in sport early, getting in sport early, being supported, and going into these professional leagues already being out, not having to live their whole life in the closet. And then once they reach this pinnacle, to make a very hard and tough decision, personally, like I said, not even about the effect of the career, but a personal decision to come out, I think is a misguided attempt. I think we should start young, because that is our future, and that is really what is propelling sport forward, is the youth.
I was happy to read that we share a superpower. You wrote that your superpower is sleeping.
Yes, sir.
Anytime, yes, sir. Anywhere, right?
Oh my gosh, I can be on a 17-hour road trip. I can be on a flight at any time, any moment. I fall asleep and get a pretty good night's sleep. When you realize that is a superpower and other people don't have that effect, I think you treasure it even more.
Well, the book is tremendous. The Yards Between Us, A Memoir of Life, Love, and Football. I hope every football fan reads it, but people who don't care about the game, you'll learn a lot about where we're going and the progress that still needs to be made. It's an inspiring work. Ryan, thank you so much for talking with us today. We wish you much luck with the book and continued success in the work that you're doing that's so important.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.